How do kids learn about sex these days? Well, one common way is through porn. It's so easily accessible these days that legions of boys and girls are learning about the birds and the bees through the amped-up world of online pornography. And yes, there's a price to be paid for that, for the 24/7 availability of it, and that can be unrealistic expectations of what a real relationship in the real world might look like. Joining me now are Dr. Wes Crenshaw. He's a board-certified psychologist in couples and family psychology. He's the author of I Always Want to Be Where I'm Not, Successful Living with ADD and ADHD, and he has offices in Lawrence and Prairie Village. And Dr. West, always good to have you. Good
nice
morning.
Nice to be here, Steve.
Michael Kraske is the online editor of The Harbinger at Shawnee Mission East High School, where he's also a senior. Michael has written about this subject, and yes, he also happens to be my son. Michael, good morning.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Dad, and thanks for helping me get out of school a little bit.
You're welcome. And Morgan's also here. She's a female student at UMKC. Morgan, nice to have you.
Hi, it's nice to be with you.
Well, in your column the other day, Wes, in the Lawrence Journal World, you wrote this. In reality, the primary sex educator in Kansas and across America isn't a teacher with a self-manufactured poster. It's the internet, featuring in living color the most explicit visual material imaginable, free for the asking, three mouse clicks away from any unfiltered computer, smartphone, or tablet. How did we get here?
Yeah, that for anyone who doesn't remember, that's referencing that Shawnee Mission middle school educator who had made that poster that said, how do people express sexual feelings, and then had a list of those things. And that made it all the way to the legislature, where they wanted to pass a law to criminalize that kind of sharing in school. And so what I found about that was it was kind of quaint and cute that they thought that's where kids were at right now. It's mm-hmm. not. Where kids are is that they are faced with very poor sex education in the school. And so they, of course, turn to the same media they turn to learn a bunch of other things, the internet. And the internet is filled with information on mm-hmm. this topic, good and not so good.
And how's the research on this from the scientific community, Wes?
Well, it's like every bit of research with teenagers, it's a little bit silly. The one I love came out of Canada maybe a year ago, and they had found out in Canada that there's an increase in the number of teenage boys using pornography. They found it was all the way up to 40%. And they said they thought this increase probably was because boys were more open now about sharing that they were using pornography.
And your point?
My point is they're only off by about 60%.
Yeah.
That it is the unusual teenage boy that has not accessed pornography at some point. So the research is just like the marijuana research. It's very much underreporting.
Well, Michael, you wrote this long story for The Harbinger. How did you get interested in this topic, and what did your reporting begin to tell you about all this?
Well, you know, over the summer, I actually began to become a little bit interested in this topic after my brother kind of told me that he had seen some online studies showing that, you know, pornography has some negative benefits from it. So I actually became really interested and started doing some research late summer. And for the very first issue of The Harbinger, which is our newspaper here at East, I wrote a story about it. And, you know, I found some really interesting stuff, and it's really changed my perspective as a teenager as well about this stuff. And I've just found that really just does have a lot of negative effects, and it really just doesn't give kids an honest perspective of what, you know, sexual relations should be like at that age. And it doesn't show them how to find a person that they want to have a relationship with, which just kind of leads to unrealistic expectations of what these sexual experiences are actually going to be like.
What kind of reaction, Mike, did your story get over there?
Oh man, you know, it was pretty funny. I got some funny comments from some teachers and students, but you know, it was pretty good because it was a very interesting topic that pretty much everyone I thought was reading it. Like I got a lot of comments about it, which is very good because that shows that people are into it and interested. And you know, I just think this topic is one that we don't really talk about that much, but it's such a relevant topic because everybody's really just using porn somewhat these days. And I mean, it's just not something we really talk about a lot, but it's just such a relevant topic, and so I think everyone was pretty interested in it.
And I want to compliment the Harbinger for and the school for letting you run that article and being supportive
yes.
of it. This
oh,
is
absolutely.
The conversation we need to be having, and I was so impressed with what you did.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, Mr. Tate, our advisor, is always really good about letting us do these big stories and what we want to do. And Principal John McKinney is also very open to that stuff, so I'd have to thank them as well.
It's a good paper.
Yeah. Well, Morgan, a lot of people might be thinking we're talking about teenage boys exclusively here, but that may not be the case because studies show an increase among young women in viewing porn as well, but it's still, you know, it's still substantially lower than what young men, how much they use it. Hey, what's your sense of porn use among your peers?
I think women use porn just as much as men do.
Really?
I know that Pornhub, that's for their one particular site, they say that 24% of their users are women and 76% are men. And I think that's pretty much about right. I mean, it's just like we may not use it like every day like a lot of men do, but we do use it and we think it's interesting. And we're honestly always talking about it in the dorms and everything because we think it's funny and entertaining.
So this notion that this is exclusively the domain of young men, you would say, uh-uh. Yeah. And when Morgan was talking, you were nodding your head, Wes. That doesn't surprise you.
It's absolutely true. My experience is there's two groups of young women. There is a group of young women who just really is offended by this, and they take the position that this is creating unrealistic expectations for body image, it's creating unrealistic expectations for sexuality, and so on. And that's a legitimate position to take, and they just really don't like it. The other group, which I think is growing and into the majority, are just as Morgan suggests. It's interesting and entertaining, and they do not use it obsessively, but they enjoy it.
Yeah. Let me get our listeners and maybe some parents involved here. We're really curious about how parents out there are handling the use of porn in your households. How concerned are you about it? With the internet so wide open, how powerless do you feel about your ability to do anything about it? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. Wes, you say there are three factors that really make today's porn completely different from what was available just 8 or 10 years ago. Those three factors would be what?
Availability. It is about three clicks if you don't know how to click. And cost, which is zero, and explicitness. Of all of the three of those, explicitness is probably the most significant because the market is still driven largely by men. And that men's wandering interests tend to drive up the explicitness factor. So there's so many of these outlets, they're grabbing for your attention. And so the unusual practices are the ones that rise to the surface because those are the ones people are clicking on.
Yeah.
So that reinforces even more explicit content. And I've been around a long time. So when I say explicit, you can trust that it's just really true.
Anything the imagination might conjure up, it's out there.
A whole lot of things that I could not imagine.
Yeah.
Even. Yeah.
Well, Michael, in your story in The Harbinger, you talked to one researcher who couldn't find any guys who weren't using porn to research for a project he wanted to do. What did you make of that? We're talking about how available this stuff is. How surprised were you that this researcher couldn't find anybody who might fit his study?
You know, I wasn't too surprised. Yeah, you're right. They said this Canadian scholar, I guess, wanted to perform some research on the effects of pornography on young males, but he had to quit his experiment because he couldn't find any potential test subjects who weren't already porn users. And, you know, that's a pretty big thing, but it didn't shock me too much because, I mean, as a teenager, it's just a pretty commonly accepted fact that most males especially watch pornography to some extent. It's not really a common thing, at least for a guy like me, to know that girls do it. But, I mean, among boys, it's not talked about often, but it's kind of just, you know, everybody just kind of knows that each other are doing it. So to me, it wasn't especially surprising under any circumstance that every single one was doing it. But, you know, it's a pretty big thing. It really shows how available and big just it is today.
And Michael, as Morgan sits here and describes how often young women are using porn. Does that surprise you, given your sort of worldview over there at Shawnee Mission East?
You know, it does surprise me a little bit. I didn't actually get into much research about that for my story, but I know for a fact, like, these statistics they're giving are pretty shocking to me. It's never really a talked about thing, I guess, for teenagers, especially around here, that girls would maybe watch porn. It's a fairly accepted concept to pretty much everyone that young males around my age and stuff are accessing porn semi-regularly or at some scale, but it never really comes up to me that really any girls would do it. So I'd say it's fairly surprising. It's not very shocking, but it's surprising how many I think are really doing it as much as males today.
You know, Wes, in Michael's story, he quoted a parent of a former Shawnee Mission East student who told him that, hey, if you're a kid who watches porn, your parents likely already know about it. Parents are never as clueless as teens think they are, which a lot of us want to believe and try to hang on to with dear life. That kind of surprised me a little bit because I'm not sure parents are as aware of these issues as this parent is proposing. What do you think? I mean, are parents really aware of all this stuff or not?
I think I don't agree with the parent that he cited. I think that parents tend to think other people's kids probably do these things. A great example has come out since Michael's article, and that is out in Canyon City, Colorado. There was this whole cadre of high school students that had an app on their phone that is a vault for pictures that was a hidden app. And girls and guys, they were all keeping their nude photos of each other on there. And that's made national news because the point was parents didn't know. I think if parents do know the kind of pornography that their kids are using, then they better get into the conversation in a hurry. Mm-hmm. My experience has been they do not know. And if they do know, they're still thinking of it as some kind of a, you know, penthouse or something instead of what it is.
Morgan, how up to date are parents when it comes to all this stuff? What's your sense?
It depends on the parent. Sometimes a lot of parents catch their kids by accident watching porn, and other parents just, they have no idea, or they just don't want to know. I think that's the real problem as parents.
They don't want to know. I think that's probably very true.
And but there are a lot of resources out there for parents. I mean, if you can get into the conversation, like Wes said, you can search for, you can tell your kids, search for romantic porn, search for, you know, how to have sex. Like, this is what's nice about porn is that it provides sex education when our schools aren't providing it.
That's your point, Wes, yeah.
So
it's fun to have Morgan on here because she's just saying stuff I'm scared to say. Now, the issue, and we talked about this a couple years ago when we did this topic, that we are now at a point where I don't think parents should say, hey, there's this really good site that has this like really good consent-based relationship intimacy porn on it. You got to check that one out. Mm-hmm. I don't think parents should be in a position to do that, but they can say, gosh, this pornography is sure a big deal these days. You know what I like about it or don't like about it or why I think it's problematic? You know, just get the message out there and to say the images that I like to imagine with sexuality are relational images. They are kindness to each other, whatever mm-hmm. value you want to imbue your child with, they'll find the other stuff just fine. But to be able to send the message, this is how I see sexuality, they can be thinking about that when they're out there. And if you don't send that, they just don't have any context for this.
Because, Wes, to expect anything else, parents don't really have much other authority or power to hold back this avalanche, is what I'm hearing you describe. Yep. This is an avalanche pouring down on families and parents, and there ain't much parents can do about it. It's happening.
That is exactly right.
Whether you want to believe it or not, it's happening.
And people are saying, well, you know, I have a filter on there. Well, okay, I'm totally into that. I can give you some good examples of ones to use. Are you filtering the iPhone? Are you filtering the Android? Are you filtering the tablet? You got to filter everything or it's going to slip through. Do I think that's a good idea? Sure, but only because you're sending the message, this is what I believe is valuable and this is what I don't believe is valuable. It isn't going to stop their access because they are kids. They're better at this than we are.
Morgan, filters make sense as a way to begin to deal with this as a parent or not?
No, honestly, I don't think filters are a good idea. I don't think censorship is a good idea, just in general. And, you know, you're going to see it eventually. You're going to see it at some point. You're going to be like, what is this? And you should get in there and you should see what it is and make your own conclusions about it. You should see everything. That's what I think. People think there's a lot of unrealistic expectations that porn is giving off. But there's all different types of porn out there. There is cartoon porn. There is transgender porn. There is senior porn. There's everything out there. A lot of people are putting their own videos up, which is amateur porn. It's not all
very
professional.
Very common,
so,
yes.
You are seeing realistic examples of sex and people in healthy relationships.
And I do want to add to that, that when we talk about unrealistic acts and things on pornography, I can tell you with absolute certainty that kids have begun emulating what they see in pornography. And we can, were we in a more explicit format, we could go into that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think that's a good idea or not really depends on who you are. I have kids mm-hmm. who swear by some of the practices they've seen in pornography. That is the best thing that ever happened to them. So while that throws me back on my heels at times, it is nonetheless the reality. It is educating for good or ill.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. We want to know what you parents say and think about all this. How are you handling the use of porn in your home? 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCUR up to date. DD tweeted us this. What about men watching erotica, Steve? Romantic porn is not porn. It's called erotica. Please use the proper terms.
That is very... a very good distinction, just so you understand. A lot of people won't realize that with a little explanation. So the exact definition of the difference between erotica and pornography varies from person to person, but it is more like what Morgan was describing as, and what I was describing as being consent-based, relational, that there's showing a loving sexual connection between the partners, and that is very different. Some of the avenues of pornography that are most popular right now are remarkably exploitative towards women and degrading towards women.
Yeah.
There's a huge genre of pornography. The whole point is to be degrading to women. So I think the caller makes a really good distinction there. And were you to talk to kids about this, I think it would be good to make that distinction. It would be a way to get out of the idea that everything is... you know, all of this is just going to destroy your life if you look at it.
You know, Michael, you spoke with, you know, experts in the field and other teens, and I'm wondering what else you found out about the impact that porn's having on teenagers when it comes to, you know, lack of caring, you know, the effect on intimacy. What else did you find out?
I think, excuse me, I think a lot of my research really led to this one word, and that's desensitization.
Yeah.
And I think that what I found is that watching excessive amounts of pornography leads, basically like we've talked about, leads to these unrealistic expectations of what these sexual experiences are like for some people, and it can therefore desensitize you from the experience itself. And
that's pretty troubling, isn't it?
I mean, I'd say so, yeah. If you're using pornography as your main source of learning about sex, which a lot of kids today are, I think that'd be pretty troubling. But I think for smarter, more educated people, they'll be able to figure it out more on their own. But, you know, I think for some people, that definitely is pretty troubling.
Dr. West, when Michael used the word desensitization, you nodded your head vigorously there.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Now, I'm going to... as with everything on this topic, there are two sides to this story. Michael is absolutely right, and there's a good and a bad to that. The bad is that I think part of the direction hooking up as a culture is going right now is reflective of the way porn is shown, that it is not the erotica, but the more pornographic parts show very little connection between the partners. It's more something's done to each other. And even young women are picking up more and more on the idea of sex and a relationship having no connection at all. So I think there is a desensitization there. On the other hand, kids have become so familiar with sexual practice by the time they engage in it that I will have to say they seem a lot more willing to talk about it, with each other, which is always good. Yeah. Talk about it. They talk about it with me. They love to talk about it with me. To be able to really have a dialogue and a conversation, and I believe that comes also from desensitization in the positive sense. Mm-hmm. Like if you are scared of bears, actually that's a good idea. If you're scared of snakes, I will work with you to help you become desensitized to the snake so that you're more able to interact with it. So that's the good side
right.
of desensitization as it applies to sexuality.
You know, Morgan, again, on this whole idea of desensitization, as you talk to your friends and your peers, you're a little bit older, I think, than Michael is. What do you hear along those lines about the impact porn has on relationships?
I usually hear a positive impact because people will want to, like you said about desensitization, people are scared of trying something new or they don't know how to do something. And so porn kind of shows you a way to do that.
It's a how-to
manual.
Or a
way to get used to do something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it helps you not be as scared of the snake as
that
as
was
you were
not
before.
A metaphor.
And I went there. I'm a 10-year-old. It's all right. there are some negative aspects of porn, I guess, just in the sense of some people will think, oh, a guy's gonna get off really fast, or a girl's not gonna have any hair on her body, or people aren't going to laugh or think something's funny, or
right.
but
And I agree with that. I think it when the video portrays correct technique, then it's educative. There's a lot of technique in porn, especially mm-hmm. leaning to the exploitative side, where the technique is not educative. And I think that'd be my only objection. But I think you're exactly right. Kids, there are things kids are learning that are accurate. The problem is when you're a kid, figuring out which is difficult without some guidance.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Flo from Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Flo.
Yes, good morning, host and guest. My question is, what are the sources of all of this pornographic material on the internet? And the motives of these sources.
It's a good question.
Yeah, great question, Flo. Where does it all come from, Dr. West? Because I have no idea.
I researched this heavily when we did this show before, and it hasn't changed a lot. There's about three sources. Some of it's stolen. They just steal professionally made pornography and put it up there. Some of it is manufactured specifically for that purpose, and the purpose is to lure people in so that they will get on private chat rooms and actually pay for that. And then the third level is exactly what Morgan was talking about, that people find it quite interesting to post what either are or appear to be amateur videos. Some of them, I think, are probably very obviously amateur, and others are made to look that way. And so those are the three primary sources, and it's just a kind of unbelievably big bench of material.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I'm wondering, you know, can kids your age navigate all this stuff? I mean, you did have a line in the Harbinger from one of your experts who said, you know, it's that young people sort of can navigate this stuff if they have healthy relationships in their own homes to sort of bounce off of. What's your sense?
You know, what I found out is that a lot of the times that pornography is going to lead to addiction and that sort of thing is with those kids that are already prone to addiction and have problems at home and that sort of stuff. And that a good majority of the kids today watching porn in the audience are going to be just fine, and it's a natural thing to watch that. But I think, like some points that have been made, I agree that it can help help people navigate through these sexual experiences. But I also think that for me, it was very hard to find student sources for my story. I ended up being able to get some, but
imagine that. Yeah.
It was difficult because, you know, students, I don't really think that people, especially kids, really realize the effect that pornography might have on real sexual relations. And I don't think an average kid really thinks much about that. And I don't think if it negatively affects them, I don't think they really necessarily realize that. And if it positively affects them, they might realize it. But I just don't think it's not something that everybody really, really talks about and thinks about too often.
Well, you know, it's really good for me to hear Michael talk about the fact that these experts say there is hope for kids who view a lot of this stuff, Wes, because there isn't much question here, is there? Because this generation of kids, Michael and Morgan's generation, is sort of the guinea pig generation, it seems to me, because they're among the first kids who have had this much access to porn, and we don't know for sure what kind of impact this is going to be. And that's a thought that's raced through my noggin as a parent to Michael and Nick more times than I can count.
Yeah, it's a very astute observation, and I agree. I think that the interaction of pornography and the dating culture, both are affecting one another. And I think the direction this goes as the guinea pigs grow up is going to be very interesting. We've talked many times on the show about how marriage is kind of not relevant anymore. Coupling is less important on average than it used to be. And I think that, you know, the most recent update, I have a lot of contact with freshmen at college at this point, and I am even surprised at the now complete disconnect between sexuality and a relationship. That doesn't mean that there isn't any relationships going on. There are. Yeah. But that is the opening salvo in a relationship is to have a very high level of sexual contact. It may not be what we call PV intercourse, penis-vagina intercourse, but it is far more. When they talk about making out, they're not talking about kissing somebody.
Yeah.
And that comes without any expectation of a relationship. So I think that the guinea pigs may be headed increasingly in that direction.
We just have about a minute left here. Morgan, help the parents out who are listening to this. What piece of advice would you give them about how to help their kids navigate all this?
Honestly, go online and find the sites that you want your kids to watch. Find the things that you think are better. There's production companies like Arts Erotica and Nubile Films, and they show romantic pornography, what the previous caller called erotica. Just talk with them about it. Don't be afraid. I know it's scary. I know it's uncomfortable, but just talk about it. Once you start talking about it, your kid's going to want to talk about it with you, and you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to everything is going to happen, but talk with them about it.
Yep. You're nodding your head, Wes.
Kids will be exactly as freaked out by this discussion as you are. And one of the things we found is that kids don't like to talk about this, but the ones who do like to talk about it with parents are the ones whose parents have made that a good conversation.
Yeah.
That they are not freaked out about it.
We'll have to let our conversation go right there. I want to thank Dr. Wes Crenshaw, board certified in couples and family psychology with offices in Lawrence and Prairie Village. Wes, always good to have you.
It's a privilege to be here, sir.
Morgan, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And Michael, you did a great job, honey. I'm really proud of you.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
And if you think going on live radio with your son talking about pornography doesn't make a host nervous, I got news for you. Michael, you did a great job. Thanks very much.
You're so
thanks
brave, Steve. We're proud of you.
Yeah, you should be proud of me. Thank God this hour is over. Okay. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske.